over my panties, exposing me, breathing into the side of my neck.
I've never been with a virgin. Thanks for that.
His dick nudged into my entrance. Before I could scream or put up a fight, the door to my apartment slammed open, breaking the drywall behind it.
What the fuck?
Nikolai roared, immediately turning and blocking my view. I shut my eyes, slipping into the darkness. A loud popping sound ricocheted off the walls, causing me to startle. A sudden warmth sprayed my face, my neck, my chest, and Nikolai's body came crashing down on me. All 200 pounds of him fell lax on my petite frame. If I thought I couldn't breathe before, this was proving me wrong. The sudden weight of his body was thrown off me as if he weighed nothing.
Stop fucking screaming,
someone snarled close to my ear. I could barely hear them. Was I screaming? They wiped at my face, cleaning off the blood from my eyes so I could see.
Stop fucking fighting me,
the mystery man sneered again. Was I fighting? They roughly gripped my arm, pulling me up to stand on my wobbly legs. I instantly fell over into a solid, muscular chest. His arms wrapped around me, holding me close, making sure I wouldn't fall. His scent immediately assaulted my senses. I would know that smell anywhere, forever ingrained in my mind.
If you know it's good for you, stop fucking screaming and stop fighting me.
What? My eyes fluttered open, still barely able to see through the haze of blood and God knows what else. I peered up through my lashes, locking gazes with dark, cold, soulless green eyes. For some reason, I heard myself scream bloody fucking murder that time. It all happened so fast, I didn't have time to register what occurred next. All I saw was his gun raised above his head.
I warned you, cariño.
With sheer blunt force, the gun came crashing down, hitting me on the back of the neck. And then everything went black. Part 3. Chapter 25. Lexi. I felt the soft, warm sheets beneath me before I even opened my eyes. My body felt like it was one with the mattress. A floating sensation coursed through me. My mind was as light as a feather, even though my body felt as heavy as a brick, sinking further and further into the linen sheets. My eyes fluttered open, or maybe they were still closed. The room I was apparently passed out in was pitch black. I couldn't see an inch in front of me. It actually brought me comfort. I was used to the darkness. I'd lived in it my whole life.
You're up.
A deep masculine voice startled me. How long had he been there? I didn't say a word or make a sound. I hadn't even moved. I couldn't fathom how he knew I was awake. I barely realized I was awake. My eyes fluttered shut again. Why was I so damn tired? Before I could finish that thought, the night's disturbing events came crashing down on me. What was supposed to be one of the most memorable nights of my life turned into one of the most traumatic encounters, adding to the endless pile of bullshit gone wrong in my life. I tried to sit up, but my body refused to cooperate. I sank back down, whimpering in pain, unable to move from the place I laid. Before I could even blink, I felt a strong, solid grip grab my arm, helping me sit up. I hadn't even heard him move. It was like he floated through air or something. His unexpected touch made me flinch. I always dreaded the feel of people touching me, but at this moment, it seemed even worse. He didn't call me out on it, but he also didn't remove his hands. Instead, he propped me up against the headboard. The mixture of his masculine scent and musky cologne surrounded me, penetrating my pores, consuming me as he hovered above my battered frame. Resting my head back, I took a deep, painful breath, inhaling the smell that haunted me for years. Martinez. It made me feel dizzy, but content simultaneously. I eased into his embrace, ignoring the sharp pain that accompanied my movement. His presence brought a sense of calm and security over me. No one has ever had that effect on me before. My body, in sync with my emotions, melted into his touch even more. He suddenly tensed for a split second, surprised by the unexpected change in my composure.
"Close your eyes,"
he ordered, in a tone I didn't recognize, making me think I had an effect on him, too. I was about to ask why, when his hands vanished. All I heard was the sound of a light switch, clicking over on the nightstand. The light immediately blinded me, illuminating the bedroom, emitting a sharp pain in my head that radiated in the back of my eyes. I suddenly understood why he told me to shut my eyes. I blinked away the haze and discomfort, finding him sitting in the armchair a few feet away. He just sat there, like he never moved at all. Did I just imagine him so close to me? I watched him looking at me the same way he always had. It was like no time had passed between us. He was sitting back in the armchair, with one leg placed over his knee, and his fingers brushing across his lips. He looked exactly the same, as if he hadn't aged a day in the last 5 years, except now he looked tired, exhausted even, looking like he hadn't slept in days. I couldn't help but wonder if it was from staying with me, watching over me, guarding me, or if it was just because of the life he led. I chose to believe the first one. His black hair had fallen around his face, framing it perfectly, like I once imagined it would. I instantly pictured him running his hands through it all night, restless, worried, waiting for me to wake up. He was as handsome as fucking ever, better than I remembered him even. He was sporting more facial hair than the last time I saw him, making him appear more distinguished, rugged, and dangerous. Not that he needed any help accomplishing the last one. His bright green eyes looked serene, but still void of any emotion. They were empty, no feeling pouring out of them whatsoever. His expression was vacant and unforgiving. I never wanted to know what he was thinking more than I did in that second. The man was a blank canvas, as always, so calm and collected, so naturally in tune with his surroundings. So fucking him. He wore black slacks with a black button-down shirt, the first few buttons unfastened, showing off his big, muscular chest and what appeared to be a silver chain hanging around his neck. It looked like he was trying to hide it under his collared shirt, making it nearly impossible to see what it was. I found myself desperately wanting to know. My eyes instinctively wandered down to his arm, admiring how tan his skin was. His sleeves were rolled up, exposing a black beaded bracelet around his right wrist. Another piece to this man's puzzle. My heart pounded against my chest, my mind reeling with thoughts of why I was there and what he was going to do with me. He was one of the good guys, right? I wanted to look around the room, but I couldn't will myself to look away from him. Our gazes locked, emotions running wild. Neither one of us wanting to break the intense connection we shared. Every last fiber of my being screamed for me to ask him what I wanted to know. I knew I wouldn't get any answers, but it didn't stop me from wanting to ask. I opened my mouth to say something, anything, when he intercepted, reading my mind, stating,
"You want answers. You want answers."
I hesitantly nodded, not being able to find my voice. The emotions stirring through me were crippling me in ways I never thought possible. The anguish consuming my body and mind, an ache resonating in my soul, only producing a possible fabricated illusion of what I still felt occurring between us. It still felt so fucking real to me, like he wanted me there, like he had wanted me there for a long time. "How did you know what was happening in my apartment?" I blurted, pushing through the sentiments that were taking control of me, needing to understand what he was about to divulge. Hoping he actually would. He narrowed his eyes, once again looking at me with a familiar desire, the desire I had been dreaming about since the last time he touched me. I dreamt about him almost every night for the last 5 years, sitting in the armchair by my bed, watching me sleep. There were times when I woke up in the middle of the night, and I swear, I just felt him there with me, guarding me, like a dark angel trying to keep the nightmares at bay. "Please, Martinez," I begged, Going against everything I ever believed in. Going against everything I ever believed in. He cleared his throat and sat forward in his chair, searching my face for I don't know what, eyeing me up and down, contemplating if he was going to tell me the truth or not. Never in my wildest dreams did I expect what he was going to reply. Rasping through his fingers,
"You live in my building. My men have always kept an eye on you."
Martinez. Lexi wasn't scared of my presence, and that bothered me in ways I couldn't begin to describe. It was such a foreign feeling. I refused to get used to it. She jerked back, shocked with the truth I just revealed, having been watched unknowingly for 4 years.
"Why?"
she blurted, before she lost the courage to question me further. I continued to rub my thumb along my lips, taking her in without her realizing I was doing so. Her dark brown hair was still long, flowing all around her face and down the sides of her body. She was thinner than the last time I saw her, which displeased me, making me think she wasn't taking care of herself properly. Her complexion pale, her pouty lips dry from dehydration, her usually bright green eyes solemn, wanting to know the truth. Wanting to know everything. Especially about me. Even with a marred-up face, she still looked fucking beautiful. Her appearance was breathtaking under the dim lights of the room. I'd spent the last 24 hours sitting in this goddamn chair, waiting for her to wake up, resisting the urge to lay with her, pull her into my arms, and keep her safe. I hated fucking cuddling, but with her, it would be different. I knew everything would be different. I also wished I could revive the motherfucker Nikolai just to fucking kill him again. Slowly torture the piece of shit this time around, until he begged me for mercy. The thought alone calmed me. I carried her broken body back to my limo, immediately calling the doctor I had on my payroll, making sure he was waiting for us the second we walked through my penthouse door. I laid her head in my lap in the limo, ordering my driver to buy wet wipes from the gas station near my building, impatiently fucking waiting for him to bring them back. I fucking hated seeing Nikolai's blood and brain remnants on her creamy skin, tainting her perfect fucking flesh. I closed the partition to give us some privacy. No one was allowed to see her naked but me and the doctor. Gently wiping off the dried blood from her face and her body, checking the bruises and wounds on her beautiful face, I carefully cut off her sports bra with my knife, exposing her breasts, needing to see the damage the motherfucker had caused to her ribs. Softly feeling down the sides of her stomach to the top of her waist, I cleaned her off the best I could, given the shitty circumstances we were in. I never wanted to physically hurt her. It pained me to have to knock her out, but I had no choice in the matter. She wouldn't stop screaming and fighting me. We were seconds away from Nikolai's men coming. Her hysterics could be heard through the entire building, easily giving away our location. We wouldn't have made it out alive, so I did what I had to do, saving both our asses. Without thinking twice about it, I removed my suit jacket, unbuttoned my shirt, taking it off to put it on her. She drowned in it. I took my suit jacket and laid it over her to provide extra warmth, ignoring the fact I liked seeing her in my clothes. Dark thoughts loomed in the back of my mind. 30 minutes later, we were back at my penthouse. I carried her in the elevator, and she didn't stir once. I tried not to let my worry for her take over, telling myself she would be fine. She was just exhausted and overwhelmed from the night's traumatic events. Dr. Valdez checked her thoroughly, making sure she didn't have any broken bones or any severe internal injuries. She didn't. She would be sore as fuck for the next few days, but everything would fade with time and rest. Except her memories. Those were now a part of her forever. Dr. Valdez injected her with a strong painkiller and a sedative to keep her comfortable, leaving a bottle of pain medicine on the nightstand for her to take as needed. He informed me she would sleep for the next few hours or so, and wake up when she was ready. I didn't leave her side for one fucking second. Once he was gone, I bathed her in the bathtub, making sure to hold her head up the entire time, running the warm water and soap over every inch of her battered body, trying to pull the remnants of the motherfucker's skull out of her hair. When I was finished, I lifted her up into my arms, gently drying her off and laying her back in bed, dressing her in some clothes that I ordered one of my men to go collect from her apartment, along with other essentials she might want or need while she recovered.
"Are you just going to sit there and be all you?"
She gestured her hand toward me, working it up and down. She still hadn't even realized she was freshly clean and in her own clothing, too consumed by the man sitting before her, me.
I asked you a question, Alejandro. I expect an answer, she ordered, pulling me away from my thoughts, enjoying the way my name rolled off her tongue.
Once he was gone, I bathed her in the bathtub, making sure to hold her head up the entire time, running the warm water and soap over every inch of her battered body. She had never called me that before. I grinned behind my hand, not allowing her to see how amused I really was by her snarky little mouth.
How did I not know that was your apartment building? And why were your men watching me?
She repeated, elaborating the same question, jerking her head, waiting to hear my explanation. She was a feisty little thing when she wasn't getting her way. That's for damn sure.
You need to get some rest, I simply stated, trying like hell to stifle my laugh.
She sighed, annoyed.
This is bullshit. You break into my apartment and proceed to knock me fucking unconscious. Now, I'm in a room with you in...
Her arms rose to her sides as she looked down at her body, realizing the blood was gone. She was clean. She cocked her head to the side, looking up at me, feeling her head, running her fingers through her washed hair.
You undressed me? How did you do that? Where did my clothes come from? Oh my God! You saw me naked, didn't you?
She couldn't get the questions to come out fast enough.
What the hell?
She gritted, frustrated.
I didn't falter. Yes, very carefully. My men collected some of your belongings from your apartment, along with the things you might need.
I leaned back into my chair, moving my hand so she could see my expression.
And it's nothing I haven't seen before, sweetheart.
I grinned. Her eyes widened in disbelief, her mind spinning out of control, not knowing what she wanted to ask me first. I wasn't surprised when she blurted,
Are you going to hurt me?
The girl had no fucking filter. I shook my head, trying to hide the amusement she always provided me.
How long were you there? Did you let Nikolai hurt me?
You, I declared in a husky tone, let that piece of shit hurt you. I shot him in the fucking head. For you.
The realization of my statement caused more turmoil than ease. She peered around the room, avoiding my eyes, her emotions getting the best of her, and for the second time in I don't know how long, I resisted the urge to hold and comfort someone.
Her. I want to go home,
she whispered so low I knew she didn't want to say it.
You're not safe there anymore. You need to be here.
She frowned, tears pooling in her eyes. I couldn't remember the last time I saw a woman cry. It had been that goddamn long, too. I was never around a woman long enough to give a fuck. She bowed her head, defeated, and I hated seeing her so overcome. It wasn't in her nature, which only proved to me she needed to be here.
With me. You promise you won't hurt me?
Look me in the eyes when I'm talking to you,
I instinctively ordered. She peered up at me through her long, dark lashes. A few tears streamed down her face. She instantly wiped them away with the back of her hand, not wanting me to see her looking so weak.
You're safe here for the time being.
I answered her question the best I could.
Nikolai wasn't who you thought he was. You can't go home because his men will kill you. They're already out there looking for you as we speak. Your fucking screaming didn't help the situation. I barely got us out of there fast enough and unharmed.
What about you?
She gave me a questioning stare.
What about me?
Are you in danger too?
Cariño, I'm always in fucking danger. Everyone wants me dead.
Because of me?
Because of everything.
She grimaced. It hurt her to hear the truth coming out of my mouth, not granting her the peace she so urgently yearned for. She felt bad for me, and I would be lying if I said it didn't faze me. Someone caring about my well-being. It had been an even longer time since anyone gave a shit if I was dead or alive.
Did you know Nikolai?
She flat out asked.
I suggest the next time you get a boyfriend.
He wasn't my boyfriend,
she interrupted.
I barely knew him. I've never had a boyfriend.
I blew off her reply, refusing to let it sink in, knowing exactly why she felt the need to share that with me. I stood abruptly instead, not paying her any mind, walking toward the bed, shocking the shit out of her. With wide eyes and parted lips, her chest rose and fell with every step I took, bringing me closer to her, anxiously waiting for what I was going to do next. I nodded toward the bottle of pills on the nightstand, breaking her train of thought before hovering above her. Her eyes followed my lead, quickly making their way back up to me. I couldn't help but notice how tiny and vulnerable she looked, how exposed she was to me in that second, making my cock twitch at the sight of her. She slowly licked her lips, trying to govern her unsteady breathing, hoping I didn't realize how much she wanted me to touch her, hold her, comfort her.
So, I'm safe here. With you?
She coaxed the same goddamn question in a different way. I stepped back, and she immediately hated the loss of my dominance over her. I nodded toward the pills again, rasping.
Don't take more than two of those, unless you want to be in a fucking coma. If you need anything, pick up the house phone and dial zero. The maid will bring you whatever you need.
Her breathing hitched as I reached for the switch on the lamp, thinking I was going for her. I shut off the light, instantly feeling her disappointment that our time was over.
Get some rest, Lexi. You're going to need it.
I turned, making my way out of her room.
You don't have to answer my question.
She whispered loud enough for me to hear, stopping me dead in my tracks.
You saved my life. That's enough proof for me to know it.
Her response rendered me useless. My feet glued to the goddamn floor beneath me, my mind yelling to go back to her, while struggling with my own demons until finally I said,
De más formas de las que tú nunca sabres, cariño.
Murmuring, in more ways than you'll ever know, cariño. And I left. Chapter 26. Martinez.
Motherfucker.
This was not supposed to happen. She was not supposed to be in my home, in one of my guest rooms, laying in one of my goddamn beds, like we were playing fucking roommates. I couldn't get away from the clusterfuck of a room fast enough. This was bad. The blaze in her eyes, the feel of her skin, the smell of her scent all around me. I was fucked. But it didn't matter. I was already going straight to fucking hell. I just didn't want to drag her into the inferno with me. I hauled ass into my limo, telling the driver to take me to the nearest bar, tugging my hair away from my face, wanting to rip it out the fuck the entire ride to this shitty hole. The drive seemed to last fucking forever.
Stay, I ordered to my bodyguard, like a fucking dog, stepping out of the limo. Boss.
I shut the door in his face. I wasn't my fucking father. I never rolled with more than one bodyguard, unless I had to. Often, I would go places by myself, not giving a fuck if I was protected or not. Leo always said I was asking for a bullet in my head. I had a death wish that would become my reality one day. Maybe I did. So fucking tired of being the goddamn Grim Reaper. Bourbon, I ordered from the bartender, with her tits on full display, taking a seat on the stool farthest from the other customers.
Keep 'em coming.
That's what she said,
she giggled, thinking she was so fucking clever. Bringing my attention to her, I glared up.
My name's Julie. She extended out her hand.
I asked for a drink.
Not your fucking name. Her eyes dilated. See, here was the fucked up thing about women. They loved men like me. No matter how much of an asshole I was to them, they still wanted to get down on their knees and deep throat my fucking cock. The shittier I was, the better I'd fuck them. Lexi proved to be no different. I fucked up so many times already when it came to her, I was surprised I could still fucking see straight. I lost all reason with her. I'd been protecting her for years. I couldn't help myself. Soon enough, she'd realize just how dangerous of a thing my protection was. I needed to get her out of my head, which was fucking funny considering she was in my penthouse. She wanted me, maybe as much as I wanted her. There was no way in hell I would ever allow it to happen. I had to prove to her that this illusion she had in her mind about me, about us, was just that. A fucking fantasy. A creation of a fairy tale in her mind. I didn't do happily ever afters, and the sooner she realized who I really was, the better. My phone rang, pulling me away from my thoughts.
Habla,
I answered. Talk. Waving off the chick to fetch my drink. She rolled her eyes, strutting away, purposely swaying her ass with every step.
Boss, the girl is fucking crying.
She has a name, asshole. It's Lexi. Learn it.
Got it, boss. Lexi's crying.
What do you expect me to do about it? Read her a fucking bedtime story?
I just thought you'd like to know. You told us to keep you informed.
I spoke through gritted teeth.
About her safety. Not hormonal bullshit. I want you to make sure she's safe.
That's why I'm fucking paying you for. Not to call me and waste my fucking time because the girl is having a fucking meltdown. Should I go in there? Maybe try to calm her?
You touch her. I'll rip your fucking cock off and make you sit on it, mierda.
I spewed.
Fuck.
And hung up, throwing my phone on the bar.
Whose balls do I have to bust to get a goddamn drink around here?
I roared, looking all around me, leaning my elbow on the hard surface, pulling at my hair again, making a mental note to fire the son of a bitch. Everything okay? The same familiar voice shyly asked, setting my drink down in front of me. I wasn't trying to eavesdrop. I just heard... I mean, it sounded really bad, she breathed out. I took a swig of my bourbon.
My, my, whatever the fuck your name is. What big ears you have.
I could feel her anxiety searing off of her onto the makeshift bar between us. I'm sorry, she added, wiping down the surface with a wet rag.
What exactly are you sorry for?
I asked, finally looking up from my drink.
The fact that you can't mind your own goddamn business, or the fact that you're throwing yourself at me when you know damn well you shouldn't be.
I paused to let my words sink in.
I'm the wolf, the one your mama warned you to stay away from.
Downing the rest of my liquor, I slid the empty glass toward her, signaling for another. I wanted to make sure everything was all right. Friendly conversation. Remember? I'm Julie. That phone call seemed intense, that's all. She flirted, making her way around the bar, standing beside me, placing my drink in front of me. I looked down at the glass, ignoring her advances as I brought the bourbon up to my mouth.
Ah.
I smacked my lips together, savoring the fiery liquid moving down my throat. I looked up, grinning, taking in her curvy body as she leaned against the bar. I watched her swallow hard, taking in my penetrating stare, licking her perfect dick-sucking lips, baiting me.
Let's cut the bullshit.
Excuse me? She replied, surprised.
Say it.
She raised her eyebrows. Say what?
Do you want me to fuck you?
She gasped. How dare you? I grinned again, cocking my head to the side.
How dare I what? Speak the truth? Come on, sweetheart. Aren't we a little old to be playing games?
She blushed, and it looked so revealing on her light complexion.
Don't play shy, Julie,
I said, accentuating her name, grazing her name badge that was placed on her left tit with my finger.
It only turns me on more. I love the chase. It's the wolf in me.
I pushed off the stool, placing my glass beside me. She took 3 steps back as I came at her, the wall stopping her momentum. I smiled, caging her in with my arms. She sucked in another breath, her minty flavor scent hitting my senses. I leaned in near her hair and inhaled her smell of vanilla and honey.
You smell edible,
I groaned, running the tip of my nose against her cheek and smiling. Her eyes dilated with lust, like no one had ever talked to her that way before. The realization made my cock hard.
I want to fuck you.
I breathed out against her ear, continuing my assault down the side of her neck.
So the question really is, can you leave with me now?
She pressed her delicate hand on my chest, not pushing me back, but not pulling me in either. I didn't give a fuck what we were doing in public, or that this was her place of employment. They wouldn't fire her. I'd make sure of it.
I don't like waiting.
I glanced up into her eyes, removing my mouth from her neck. Sheer disappointment passed through her eyes.
Yes.
She practically fucking moaned. I ran the tip of my finger along her cleavage, and her chest suddenly rose, making her tits look bigger. She would have let me fuck her up against the wall, but I had other ulterior motives, ones that involved taking her back to my penthouse. I didn't give a shit about her. She was a means to an end. Lexi's room was the closest to mine. All I had to do was leave my door open. I never brought women back to my penthouse. No one knew where I lived. I made an exception, having no other choice in the matter. This would prove once and for all I wasn't the man she thought I was. I'd make her believe I was savoring every thrust, the slapping sounds of my balls against her ass, every push and every pull. Her screaming my name, begging me to let her come. It was what it was. End of story.
You're not staying the night. I don't cuddle. I don't whisper sweet nothings in your ear. I don't make love. I take.
And then? I take some more. I stated, emphasizing the words.
I fuck, Julie. I'll fuck you until you can't come anymore.
She took in every word as if I recited poetry. After I'm done, I'll tell you to get the fuck out of my bed, I crudely added. Her eyebrows lowered, causing her face to frown. At least I wasn't a liar.
Love me or hate me, sweetheart, but lead the fucking way.
She hesitated for a second, and then pushed off the wall. She hollered to her boss that she was leaving for the day, and walked out. I followed her, nodding toward my limo that was parked on the side. Watching her closely, her demeanor read of a woman who had never done this before, almost like she was breaking all her rules, knowing that she was putting her job in jeopardy, shitting on her morals and giving in to the desire I promised her. For a second, I felt bad. I almost wanted to tell her to stay, that it wasn't a good idea. Almost.
Coming or staying?
I asked, walking in front of her.
Trust me. I plan on making you come. A lot.
She bit her bottom lip, and I silently laughed. I took her back to my penthouse, knowing Lexi heard everything like I wanted her to. I fucked her exactly how I promised, and then some. It was late into the night by the time I was done with her, and kicked her the fuck out the same way. Not even saying goodbye. I jumped in the shower, needing to wash away my sins. The fact that I caused Lexi pain, when in reality, all I wanted to do was to provide her with comfort. I waited until I knew she would be passed out, probably from the pain medication she took for more than one reason tonight. Her door was now closed. Knowing it was open when I came home back earlier with my fuck buddy, she had slammed it, shutting out the noise, really yearning to shut me out. Or at least trying to. I slowly opened her door, careful not to wake her. Walking into her room, I hovered over her petite frame, which seemed smaller since I last left her, and that was only a few hours ago. She was curled into her pillow, the blanket almost covering her head, as if she was trying to drown out the noises coming from my bedroom or possibly her own mind. Even in the dim lighting from the hallway, I could tell she had been crying, her face flushed, her lips swollen. I gently brushed the hair away from her face, wanting to feel her soft skin against my calloused fingers. She softly moaned in contentment. Even in a deep sleep, she liked my touch. Although she probably fucking hated me now that I made her listen to me fuck another woman. Exactly like I needed her to. I moved away from her, even though it was the last thing I wanted to do, taking a seat in the armchair by her bed. She needed to stay away from me. I wanted her to stay away from me. I should have made her leave, but it didn't matter because I couldn't stay away from her any longer. And in the end, I didn't fucking want to. So instead, I watched her sleep. Protecting her the only way I knew how. Except, there was no protecting her. From me.
Lexi. God, you're fucking huge! I thought I heard a woman loudly moan. I groaned, moving my head side to side on my pillow, nestling my sore body into the mattress, not comprehending if I was awake or asleep at that point, thinking I was just hearing things in my dream. It took me forever to fall asleep after Martinez abruptly left me without a care in the fucking world, leaving me all by myself. The tears just wouldn't stop flowing, one right after the other soaked into my pillow, until I had no more to shed. They were taxing and ruthless, just like him. If I was asleep, I didn't want to wake up. I was emotionally, physically, and mentally drained. Yes, right there. Fuck me right there. Just like that. Please, please make me come. I overheard. This time it was loud and clear, startling me awake. I immediately sat up, forgetting I had been beaten the night before. I grabbed onto my ribs, trying to ease the pain as I peered around the empty room. What the fuck? I whispered to myself, taking a few calming breaths, wiping the dead sleep from my eyes. I blinked a few times, trying to adjust to the darkness around me. That's when I heard,
"Ride my cock, sweetheart. Fuck me."
Recognizing the dominant tone immediately, the sounds of their bodies slapping together echoed through the hallway into my room. My stomach dropped. My hand went to my chest, trying to hold my heart from shattering into a million pieces. It was too late. Piece by piece. Moan by moan, it broke, bleeding all over his white linen sheets. I couldn't help but continue to overhear the filthy shit coming out of Martinez's mouth from afar, along with the screams of bliss from the random whore he was intimately sharing his bed with. I knew that much for sure. The way they were talking to each other proved they didn't know one another. They were relishing in the pleasure their tangled, insatiable bodies were bringing to one another, while I was fighting the bile that rose in the back of my throat. After everything I had been through in the past 24 hours, I was forced to sit there and listen to Martinez fuck another woman. I couldn't catch a fucking break. Fate was such a bitch. Before I knew what I was doing, my feet hit the cold marble tile, running to the ensuite bathroom. Falling to my knees in front of the toilet, I ignored the sharp pain that radiated through my body as I emptied the contents of my stomach while I continued to hear raw, sexual sounds beating into my head. He didn't give a flying fuck that I could hear what they were doing, what he was saying to her, how much he was making her come, the ecstasy he was pounding into her pussy over and over again.
"Just like that. Take my cock," he growled.
She gagged. I scoffed in disgust. My eyes filled with tears again. My lips trembled, and whatever little piece of his soul I thought I saw when he looked at me crumbled beneath me on the cold tile floor. I fucking hated him. Every last part of him. He left me here by myself in his home, knowing I would be scared, anxious, overwhelmed by all the shit that happened to me. I didn't even know how much time went by while I laid curled up in the fetal position there on the bathroom floor, listening, making sure I took in every moan, every thrust, every plea, until I couldn't take it anymore, ingrained so deep into my heart, where all my thoughts and feelings would now be shoved to. He wasn't who I thought he was. Not even fucking close. It seemed as though they went at it for hours. I had enough. I reached my limit. I pushed off the bathroom floor, ignoring my body's pleas to take it easy. I reached my door, contemplating my next move. "I hope you choke on it!" I yelled, and I slammed it shut, not caring if he heard me or not. I immediately opened my pills, taking 2 down without any water, wanting to knock myself the fuck out from the pain running through my body, especially my heart. I laid back on the bed, staring at the ceiling, willing the medication to take effect, thinking about how I got into this situation in the first place. How did any of this happen? I didn't understand why he had me here, if he didn't care for me. Why was he protecting me? Nothing made sense. Not one damn thing. My eyes started to flutter, sleep finally taking reign again. My body sank into the mattress beneath me. Heaviness coursed through me, and the room went black. Even in my sleep, I couldn't escape him. I felt him, his distinctive scent all around me, touching me, watching over me. At one point during the night, I could have sworn I saw him sitting in the armchair beside my bed, but I couldn't be sure. The drug-induced haze kept taking me under, probably producing false illusions, the same ones I created over the years. When I woke up the next morning, I was by myself, hating the fact that I dreamt about him. Again, I was in a foul mood, hating life, hating him, and hating that I was still fucking there, and I couldn't go home. I was homeless yet again, and I hated that more than anything. The fucking dark cloud I carried around for years was back with a vengeance. Just as my life was starting to look up, one bad decision took it all away from me, ripping away the life I'd worked so hard for. Finally loving where I was, after all that hardship, right out of my grasp. I didn't know what God had up his sleeve for me. All I knew was I wanted to get the fuck out of there. I wanted to go back to living my life in my little bubble. Most of all, I wanted to be able to dance again. I showered as best as I could, my body hurting even more than it did the night before, allowing the hot water to soak my sore muscles like I had been doing ever since I was little. But this time, it wouldn't grant me any peace like it had for years. When the water turned cold, I got out and dried off in the bathroom, wiping the steam from the hot shower off the mirror with my hand, staring down at the sink, not ready to face the woman that would be staring back at me. I needed to inspect the damage Nikolai had inflicted upon my face and body. Taking a deep breath, I opened my eyes and almost gasped when I saw my reflection. "Oh my God," I breathed out, not recognizing the woman through the glass. My eyes were bloodshot, hollow, and swollen from spending most of the night crying. Dark, purplish, and green bruises circled my left eye, descending to my cheekbone, disappearing into my hairline. Another bruise ascended from my right cheek over to the bridge of my nose. Turning my head side to side, I examined Nikolai's handiwork, bringing my hand up, gently caressing my fingers over my once flawless skin, hissing in pain as soon as they made contact. My dry lips were cracking, a sharp cut on my bottom lip making it more painful. My eyes followed my hand as I glided it down toward my chest, ribs, and stomach, purple, blue, and black bruises covering the entire area. My gaze never left the mirror as I took in every last inch of my broken body, scoffing out in disappointment for how I could let this happen to me. Tears threatened in my eyes. I grew up with a predator. I should have seen the signs. I should have known better than to let anyone in my life. I ended up dating a man that just waited for the right moment to strike, leaving me more damaged now than I had ever been before. I quickly wiped away the tears that had escaped from my puffy eyes, wincing from my own touch again. I grabbed another towel off the warming rack and wrapped it tightly around my body, unable to look at myself any longer. Taking in my appearance was making me sick. I opened the door, closing my eyes, welcoming the cool air on my face, shrieking as soon as I opened my eyes to find him sitting on the corner of my bed. Placing my hand over my ribs, I bowed my head, promptly whimpering in pain. "Fuck," I muttered through gritted teeth. I heard the bed creak and immediately peered up at him, but I was too late. He was over to me in three strides, getting right in my personal space without me asking him to do so. "Don't touch me," I snapped, expecting him to back away. He didn't, not even deterred by my outburst. He just bent down, diligently picked me up off the ground as if I weighed nothing, carrying me over toward the bed, setting me down on the soft mattress. I instantly turned my rigid face away from him, not wanting to look into his tantalizing eyes, pretending, with everything I had left in me, that his touch, his kindness, his scent didn't faze me. He finally stepped back, but I could still feel his warm breath on my neck. I struggled to release the nervous breath I'd been holding since I opened the bathroom door. "Don't you know how to knock?" I asked, breathing through the anxiety threatening to attack me at any second, hoping he wouldn't notice, but knowing he noticed everything.
"I refuse to knock on a door I own," he simply stated, talking to the back of my head.
I rolled my eyes, still not looking at him. I fucking refused to give him that satisfaction.
"Well, I'm staying here now, without my consent and against my will," I added for good measure. "So knock on the damn door if you want to come in, and I'll think about letting you in," I stated, all proud of myself.
He leaned over, grabbing my chin, turning my face to look up at him. I glared into his once again serene, bright green eyes.
"That's the second time you've looked away from me, instead of looking me in the fucking eyes when I'm talking to you, sweetheart. There won't be a third."
I jerked my face away from his grasp, and he let me go. "I could have been naked, but that doesn't matter, does it? Little girls don't make you hard anyway, but the woman last night sure as hell did," I spewed, not being able to hold it in any longer, mentally chastising myself for letting him know it hurt me. He hurt me. His face was impassive, neutral. I couldn't read one damn thing, and it further fueled my pissed-off mood. I abruptly stood, walking away from him, not giving him the chance to answer. I didn't want to hear his bullshit response I knew he was going to give me. I closed my eyes, biting my lip from the sudden harsh pain the swift movement caused.
"You need to rest. You're never going to heal if you don't listen to me."
"No,"
I called out, turning around to face him, my temper taking over.
"Stop telling me what to do. Just because you're used to bossing everyone else around doesn't mean shit to me. No, leave. Don't let the door hit your ass on the way out."
Throwing his exact words back at him from the day he kicked me out of his office, all those years ago.
"Get in bed,"
he calmly ordered in a monotone voice, pointing his long index finger toward the mattress.
"No,"
I snarled, stepping toward him. His eyes glazed over, and I secretly loved finally getting some sort of emotion from him.
Get in the fucking bed, Lexi.
His hands, working into fists by his side. I stepped toward him again, getting right in his face this time. Looking him dead in the eyes, I clenched out.
No! Motherfucker!
He seethed from deep within his chest, cocking his head to the side with an eerie composure. It all happened so fast, I didn't even see him coming. The next thing I knew, he picked me up again, carrying me over to the bed in 3 steady strides, setting me down in the middle of the mattress. Holding me in place, he got close to my face, our mouths inches apart. He didn't falter, speaking with execution.
I do not have time for your bullshit temper tantrums that you think I give a fuck about. When I tell you to do something, you fucking do it. I don't like to repeat myself, and I won't. Test me again, little girl, and watch what fucking happens to you. I'll make you scream, and trust me, it won't be from pleasure, like it was for the woman I fucked last night.
My chest heaved as I took in his threats. Pushing me back into the pillows, he let me go, turning and leaving me without so much as a second glance. I spent the rest of the day stewing in bed. Exactly how he ordered me to.
Chapter 27. Martinez. I rode in the limo, heading to the strip club, in silence, needing to gather all my thoughts. So much had happened in a matter of 48 hours, including her. Fucking Lexi. That woman was going to be the end of me, and the sad part about it was, she didn't even realize it. My head was pounding, and it was barely 8 in the fucking morning. I couldn't remember the last time I slept for more than an hour or two, always sleeping with one eye open, waiting for whatever may come my way. The days wound into nights, like the spindle of a fucking thread. I walked into my office, steering clear of all the bullshit my men were trying to bring to my attention. I sat in my leather office chair, setting my elbows on my desk, placing my throbbing head in between my hands, allowing the silence to swallow me whole, relishing in the foreign feeling, even if it was just for a few minutes. I let it take over mind, body, and dark soul. Going from feeling so much over the last few days to feeling nothing. My mind wasn't used to it, and it had no fucking problem letting me know it didn't appreciate the sentiment. Martinez, Leo interrupted, opening my office door and shutting it behind him. Fuck off, I greeted, not bothering to look up. Well, aren't you just a delightful bag of shit this morning? He chuckled, sitting in one of the chairs, facing my desk. If it were anyone else, I would have no problem putting a goddamn bullet in their balls if they ever talked to me that way. Leo was different. The girl? He asked, with no hesitation. A pain in my fucking ass, I simply stated. You're playing with fire, he declared out of nowhere, bringing my attention up to him. I sat back in my chair, narrowing my eyes at my friend. She's a kid. A fucking child. I need a woman, Leo. She could be my fucking kid, for Christ's sake. So be it, but she's a... little girl, I chimed in, annoyed, knowing where he was going with this. Legal? And in my book, that's fucking fair game. I shook my head. You don't know what you're talking about. I don't? You haven't made me watch over Lexi for years? Leo was the only man I trusted with her, the only man I knew would do the job right. She isn't sleeping in your penthouse right now. He leaned forward, placing his arms on my desk. You didn't murder one of your trusted longtime associates for her either, right? Nikolai thought you were his friend. Friend is a term I use loosely. He was going to rape her. I had no choice. The motherfucker had it coming. Since when has another man's sexual deviance bothered you? You've dealt with men far worse than him every day of your life, and you'll continue to do so. What's your point, Leo? I don't have all fucking day to sit here and chit-chat like some schoolgirls in heat. I thought I was making it. Maybe I should just draw a picture for your dumbass. I stood, needing to get the hell away from him as well. Your wife makes you wear a condom, doesn't she? Throwing your insults at me all you want, buddy. I'm not the one that sleeps alone every night. Oh, wait. I forgot. El Diablo doesn't sleep, right? Now why do you think that is? I glared at him. He laughed, throwing his head back. Oh, man, Martinez, you've got it so bad, so fucking badly, my friend. I never thought I'd see this day happen again. You better get your skates out because your fucking world is just frozen over. Get the fuck out, I gritted, not wanting to hear the shit he was brewing.
What are you going to do about Nikolai's men?
He asked, ignoring my demand, staying put in his chair. You know they're not happy.
They are fucking furious. They want the girl. You know that as much as I do. You may have pulled the trigger, but it was for her. She's your weakness. And you made that loud and fucking clear. It's only a matter of time until they figure it out.
Why don't you let me worry about Nikolai's men?
What about Lexi?
What about her? She's not anyone's concern but mine. Are we clear? No one is to lay a fucking finger on her.
He stood, rounding my desk.
That's what I'm afraid of.
Patting me on the back and walking out. As soon as he left, I pulled my cell phone out of my suit jacket, hitting send as I sat back down in my chair. Boss? Rick answered after one ring.
We good?
I questioned, rapidly tapping my pen on my desk. Everything's taken care of. The girl... I hung up, cutting him off, spending most of the day thinking about Lexi. It was late by the time I made it back home, going straight into my office, needing to finish up a few odds and ends before making my way toward Lexi's room. Thinking she would be asleep, I carefully opened her door like I had the night before, ready to take my usual place in the armchair by her bed. I sat, watching her for a few seconds. I'm not sleeping. Her voice rang out in the darkness.
I know.
I did the moment I walked into the room. I could feel her anywhere, especially when she was around me. The pull, the hold, the lock which only she possessed over me. Of course you did. You know everything, O wise one. You know what? You're like a modern-day fucking Yoda, which seems kind of unfair if you think about it. You seem to know everything about me, yet I don't know a damn thing about you, other than you walk around here with a stick up your ass. You expect me to stay here in your home with you, and all you seem to want is for me to listen to your every command like I'm your damn dog.
If I had the dog, it would obey me. You, on the other hand, do not.
She wanted to laugh, but turned her head to smile instead. Thinking I couldn't see her, taking a deep breath, she asked, when can I leave?
When I tell you, you can.
What about my job? I worked, so...
I took care of it.
What? She asked, sitting up, hissing from the immediate pain to her ribs. I didn't hesitate, walking over to the nightstand, opening the bottle, handing her two pills with her glass of water. She glanced up at me, even though she couldn't see anything but my faint shadow looking down at her. I don't like them. They make me sleep.
No shit. You need to rest.
She reluctantly nodded, taking them, fighting an internal struggle not to argue with me. I sat back in the armchair, sinking into it, rubbing my fingers over my mouth as I watched her contemplate what else she wanted to say to me. Have you been doing this every night? Sitting there? Watching me? She finally asked what had been plaguing her since the minute she woke up in this room.
It doesn't matter.
It does to me.
I'm not what you think I am, Lexi. And the sooner you realize that, the better.
Maybe you're not who you think you are. Have you ever considered that? Her words resonated somewhere deep inside of me.
What do you think is going to happen here, cariño? Do you want to be my whore?
I crudely asked, wanting to make her uncomfortable, knowing all I had to do was push that hard limit for her.
Sex.
Lexi, my stomach fluttered, seizing my body completely. I inadvertently writhed around in the sheets, basking in the cool feeling against my heated skin. No, I replied in a voice I didn't recognize. You have plenty of those. How about we just start off as friends? I don't have many, and for some reason I couldn't possibly begin to understand, I sarcastically stated. I don't think you do either.
Friends,
he drawled out, like the word seemed foreign coming from his lips. Yeah, I mean, we kind of sort of are, I guess. Friends help each other. You saved me, so...
And what are you going to do for me?
Oh, well, what do you want?
Something I shouldn't.
Which is?
You, in my bed, now.
I didn't know what to say, so I didn't say anything at all. My heart sped up, beating a mile a minute. I swear he could hear it. Sweat started pooling at my temples. Stop trying to make me feel uncomfortable. I know what you're trying to do, I voiced in a steady tone, even though my body was anything but that.
Is that right?
Yes, that's right. You want to pretend like you don't feel what is happening between us, You want to make it all about sex. Your words may say that, but your actions contradict everything that comes out of your filthy mouth. You've been watching me for years, keeping me safe. Then you saved me. Now I'm here, where I'm safe again. You want me to rest. You're concerned about me. You're protecting me.
Did I fuck that woman last night for you too?
That was like taking a bullet to the fucking heart. It would have shattered if it hadn't already the night before.
Don't get it twisted, Lexi. This is how it's going to be. You're going to stay here until I tell you it's safe for you to go. Then you're going to leave. There's nothing here for you. Especially me. Because trust me, sweetheart. I will make you leave.
But I'm here now, I whispered, fidgeting with my fingers under the sheets. Because you want me here. I don't need to be here. I've been protecting myself my entire life. You don't know what I've been through. So people who live in glass houses shouldn't throw stones. I made a mistake, and I trusted someone I shouldn't have. It's why I don't let people get close to me. I should have known better. And even though I shouldn't trust you, I do. I paused, letting my words sink in. I know somewhere deep inside you lies a man who had a good heart once, or I wouldn't be laying here. I think you lost your way, and now you're just trying to find your feet on the ground. Silence. Each second of stillness that passed between us made me realize I was right, and he knew it. You leave me by myself because you don't want to get close to me, but it's backfired on you, because all I have time to do is to think. You don't trust anyone, including yourself. Why would you bring a random woman back here? It didn't make any sense, until I got to thinking today. You fucked her last night to hurt me, to prove to me that you don't care about me. Well, you succeeded. I spent the entire night hurting, exactly the way you wanted me to. You wanted me to hate you. It makes it easier on you. Am I getting warmer, Alejandro? I turned, stepping out of the bed carefully before I lost the nerve, walking over to him in the darkness, crouching down in front of him, placing my arms on his thighs for support. He didn't move. He didn't tense. He didn't make one sound. Knowing he could see me, even if I couldn't see him, I peered up to the faint shadow of his handsome face and sinful green eyes, knowing in my heart there was more emotion evident on his expression than there had been in years, taking him by surprise. Well, guess what? I'm not going to make it easy for you. He instantly stood, pushing back the armchair from the impact of his abrupt stance. It skidded across the floor. I would have fallen on my ass had I not expected his reaction.
Go to fucking sleep, he snapped, walking out of the room, slamming the door behind him.
I smiled. For the first time since I had been there, I fucking smiled. Lying back down in my bed, I snuggled into my pillow and comforter, feeling happy and content with myself. I took a deep, liberating breath, allowing the pills to take me under, and I would succumb to a good night's sleep. Finally, dreaming of the green-eyed man who had captured my heart. Knowing as soon as I passed out, he would come back in, pull up his chair next to my bed, to watch over me, my dark angel. Chapter 28. Lexi. 3 months went by at a slow and steady pace. I felt every second, every minute, every hour, counting down the days until he said I could leave. I wanted to be able to step outside and soak up the sun without having to worry about getting killed. Most of all, I couldn't wait to dance again. This was the longest I had gone without dancing. Living in this penthouse was starting to take a toll on me. I may have been physically healed, but mentally and emotionally, I was far more messed up than I ever was before. I never realized how much I truly hated being by myself. Maybe I was too distracted with ballet to notice the absence of people around me before, but I found myself craving conversation and human interaction. Dance was my entire life, my escape from reality, my happy place, where there was no negativity, no violence, no memories, but it was also a lonely place. My whole life. After I fully recovered, I started leaving my room, venturing out into the penthouse, since I wasn't permitted to go outside. Martinez said it wasn't safe yet. He was handling it as fast as he could, but it was going to take time. The only problem was, he didn't know how much time, and I was slowly losing myself. At times, I wandered around aimlessly through his penthouse in hopes that maybe I would find him, that maybe we could talk again, even though all we seemed to do was fight. I was lonely, and could have really used some company. I barely ever saw him, though. He was there less and less as the days went on, never telling me where he was going or when he would be back. We never talked about what had happened that night, both in denial, both pretending. We barely exchanged more than a few words when our paths crossed, and that was mostly him telling me I still couldn't leave. It still wasn't safe, and the man looking for me hadn't given up yet. I hadn't seen or heard any more sexcapades either since the second night I was there. Thank God for small miracles. A woman did show up late one night, knocking on his door as I walked toward the kitchen to get some water. I opened it without thinking, much to his disapproval. She looked young, maybe a few years older than me. I didn't have to question if she was one of his random whores. She had his eyes. At first, I thought it might be his daughter, but he dismissed me before I could ask her who she was. My curiosity got the best of me, though, and decided since he wouldn't give me any answers, I should get them on my own. Instead of heading back to my room, I lingered around the hallway. Their conversation seemed tense and made me slightly uncomfortable, but my instinct was right. They were related. She was his niece, Briggs. They didn't seem to have a loving relationship, which didn't surprise me in the least. She stayed at his penthouse for a few days, never leaving her room. I didn't see her again, and he never mentioned her after that. Anything I needed or wanted was delivered right to my room at any point in time. Even though he made sure I was well cared for, he never fulfilled my one desire that would cost him nothing. Companionship. All I really wanted or needed was for him to keep me company, even if words weren't spoken. I still felt him at night, watching me sleep, every time I opened my eyes to catch him sitting there. He wasn't. I guess loneliness could make you imagine what you truly wanted. And I still wanted him. So fucking much. The sad part was, for the first time in my life, I felt safe. With him. Which confused me more than anything. That morning, I decided to venture further into his penthouse. So far I'd found a library and a movie theater. I spent a few days in both. But neither had been a good distraction. Today, I hit the jackpot. A huge gem was hidden in the never-ending corridors. As soon as I walked in, it became the only room that provided me with some type of comfort. His potent scent lingered in every crevice of the open space. I secretly hoped that one day I would walk in, and he would